Riddle of the Great Beings, Chapter 5. Tarda, Cretaceous, and Kobold had been riding for a full day. They had left Sorel, his iron wolves, and his dire warnings behind, but none could forget his words. Kobold had been silent since then, lost in his own thoughts. Tardak was more watchful than ever, hoping to spot the next attack before it was too late. For his part, Cretaceous had decided that Sorel had gone mad after so many years in the mountains, and there was little point paying attention to the ravings of a madman. Tardak paused to glance at the metal fragment he carried with the strange map inscribed upon it. Yes, they were almost far enough to the north. Soon it would be time to turn east and head for where the symbol of the red star was located on the crude chart. Kobold abruptly reined the Sandstalker to a halt. "I've changed my mind. I want to turn back," he said. "We're not turning back," Cretaceous answered without turning around. "I don't even know what we're doing here," snapped Kobold. "Who cares what's beyond the mountains? We have our own problems at home." "Maybe the two are connected," offered Tardak. "Maybe there's something up here that can help us deal with the Bone Hunters, the Voroks, and the Skrall." "We're here for a weapon?" Kobold asked. "If there was something that powerful up north, the Elders would have sent Clitorian to get it." "Maybe they didn't want something like that in the hands of Strack," muttered Cretaceous, "or Kena, for that matter." "Shut up," said Tardak. "Hey, I have a right to say what I think," replied Cretaceous. "No, I mean shut up. I think I hear something up ahead," Tardak said. All three went silent. Now they could all hear it. A harsh, keening sound, like the song sung by a chorus of the dead. It seemed to be coming from a forest in the distance. "It's the wind," said Cretaceous. "You know, big blast of hot air, enough to knock a person over. Sort of like Skidonius after a win in the arena." "I know it's the wind," answered Tardak. "I just never heard wind like that before." "The Forest of Blades," said Kobold. "Up ahead. Maybe that's the place Sorel was talking about." "I don't see any blades," said Cretaceous. "I see trees. That means maybe there's some fruit or something else we can eat. I'm hungry enough to eat Thornax stew at this point, even cold Thornax stew." Tardak started to say something back, but even the thought of cold Thornax stew was so nauseating that he had to swallow hard to keep from getting sick. Cretaceous had spurred his Sandstalker on and was riding ahead. Kobold hesitated for a long moment before following. Sitting on the animal right behind Kobold, Tardak felt a moment of relief. He didn't want to lose a team member, and he doubted Kobold would be able to make it back to Ikonox safely on his own. They needed to stick together. As the small band rode closer, they noticed something strange. Faint sunlight was glittering off what appeared to be swords sticking out of trees. It almost looked as if the forest was armed, as strange as that seemed. "Must be a weird kind of tree to grow branches like that," said Kobold. "I guess we know how the place got its name." "Do we?" said Tardak. "Look closer." Kobold appeared through the morning mist. What he had thought was just a gleaming branch was, in fact, a sword, and it wasn't sticking out of the wood. It was held in the hand of a warrior trapped halfway inside the trunk of the tree. Kobold gasped. He suddenly realized that there were scores of warriors here, their bodies merged with the wood of the forest, still clutching their weapons. It was as if the trees had reached out and grabbed them and wouldn't let go. He couldn't tell if the warriors were still alive or not. "That's horrible," he said. "What do you think?" Tardak asked Cretaceous. The Fire Aguri just stared at the awful forest for a long time. Then he said, "No natural forest behaves this way. I hate to say it, but Sorel was right. The Element Lords were here. This is power over plant life at work. These warriors might have been here since the war, for all we know." "If they're alive, we have to save them," said Tardak. "That means going in there," replied Cretaceous. Tardak nodded. Kobold yanked on the reins, turning the Sandstalker around. "You can get off right here, Tardak," said Kobold. "I'm going back." Tardak knew he should argue with him, but he couldn't think of a good argument. The sane thing to do was to head back to the desert and try to forget this terrible place existed. But something told him there was more at stake here than just the discovery of new knowledge or the solving of a puzzle. More and more he felt like they were on a mission, and a vital one. Without a word, Tardak jumped down from the Sandstalker. Then he climbed up onto Cretaceous's mount. "Be careful, Kobold. The way back might be more dangerous than the way here." Kobold nodded toward the Forest of Blades. "Same to you, friend. I think you're crazy to go in there, but I'll make sure everyone back home knows you were trying to help others," and his voice broke and he stopped speaking. Tardak leaned over and shook his hand. In their hearts, both believed they would never see each other again. Tardak waited until Kobold was well on his way before asking Cretaceous to get the Sandstalker moving. Together they rode into the cool green shade of the forest. They were so close to the warriors that Tarta could have reached out and touched their armor, but he did not. He was doing his best to be brave, but he knew if one of the trap warriors should suddenly move, he would have to scream. None of them did. The Tuagori rode deep into the forest. It was silent. No birds sang here, no rodents scurried across the leaf-strewn floor in search of a meal. It was a garden of sorts, but it was not a place of life. At least that was how it seemed to Tardic and Cretaceous, right up until the moment when the wind gusted again, the howling noise rose, and the branches all around reached out to seize them both. To be continued.